This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Top beer. Top beer. Top beer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Top Beer, Top Brewery Edition. I am your host, Adrian De La Torre. With me, as always, is my gracious co-host, Mr. Timothy Robert Buckner. Timothy, how are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing tonight?
On my side of the table, actually, Tim, tell me what brewery you have for us today.
I've got Sierra Nevada. I didn't really think of it, but they are a California brewery.
I was going to say it. It's called Sierra Nevada, but they're not based out of Nevada. So.
No, I mean, they're based out of, I guess, the Sierra Nevada Mountains.
Which are in California, so I guess that makes sense.
It does. They are in Chico, California. They have been in existence since 1979. They started out as home brewers, turned into brewing. They're one of the top breweries operating in the United States.
Hold on. They're one of the top breweries.
They sure are. They produce, what has it got here? Almost 800,000 barrels of beer in 2010. So they probably increased since then.
Imagine doing that song. You know, what would you say, 120,000 barrels of beer?
No, not even close. 800,000.
Imagine doing that song. 800,000 bottles of beer on the wall. 800,000 bottles of beer. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine. I think they're kind of known for their IPAs, just like every brewery is kind of known for their IPAs, especially in California. But they've got some other styles. They started a Abbey-style, kind of Trappist-style projects in 2011, it says. 2012. They're building a second brewing facility with a restaurant in North Carolina, so that's very interesting. That's already open, 2014. That's about it. They said that their influence are Anchor Steam. I mean, I guess at that point when they started, there wasn't too many other independent breweries to be influenced by. And another brewery here called New Albion, I guess is what it would be. A brewery that no longer exists, that was founded in 1976. They're a brewery that I have not drank a lot of, but they do have some beers that I really like. Me and you both actually like their Otra Vez, which is it's a goes on this show, because we say it like Americans. Especially for 4th of July week. We've got to be as American as we can be. They have a barrel-aged narwhal stout that's really good. Their Torpedo IPA is good. So I figured give them a shot, try some different stuff that I haven't tried from them. So Adrian, what's your top brewery for the week?
That sounds really good, Tim. I can't wait to get into yours. My top brewery, I'm really excited about this brewery, Tim, because I've had beers from them, but all of the beers that I have tonight for this show, I have not had, so I'm actually really excited about it. This is a brewery based out of beautiful Utah, Uinta Brewing Company, based out of beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah, to be more specific. And funny enough, Tim, when I lived and worked in Utah, this brewery was actually next door to my work, believe it or not.
Ah!
Yeah. Isn't that... I never
been
went
there
in there
pretty regularly.
No, because we weren't doing a beer show at the time, and I was drinking craft beer, but I wasn't like visiting breweries at all. I only visited Wasatch Brewing when I was in Utah, but Uinta was right next door to work, and I could have at any time gone there after work and had myself a well deserved brew, but I did not do that. But that's okay. Founded in 1993, I'm reading off of this off their website. Uinta Brewing is founded. An old mechanic's garage is leased and will graduates from a bathroom homebrew system to a 15 BBL brew house. It takes months before people stop dropping their car off for service. I think that's funny that people still mistake it for an auto shop, you know? I remember when I was in high school, I was an intern on a on a film project in Desert Hot Springs, of all places. They turned the old post office building in Desert Hot Springs into a film studio. And there was still people, there'd still be old ladies that would walk in and try to drop off their mail.
Nice.
I remember that. So that's, let's see. I don't know what 30 BBL, is that just like the amount of liquid the barrels, the tanks can hold, I'm assuming, right?
BBL is barrel, I think, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so in 1993, two 30 BBL fermentation tanks and a 30 BBL bright tank are installed and filled with the first production-sized batch of cutthroat. I don't think I've ever had their cutthroat. Let's see, it goes on. So the founder, 93, went through the 90s, the 2000s, still brewing to this day, obviously. It's a good brewery. I know you've had beers from them, Tim. And like I said,
I am. I've been pretty close to having them be my brewery for the show a couple times, actually.
It would have been great if you would have gone with them tonight.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, it's a good brewery. What I have tonight, my first beer that I'm actually really excited about, this is their Lime Pilsner, Tim. A lager with natural lime flavors. When I saw this can, it just sounded too delicious to not get. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Exactly what you're saying.
Exactly. So let's see. What's the ABV on this little sucker? I do not see it anymore. I mean, it's a Pilsner, so it's probably not very high. But enough talk. Let's just get into it. I'm going to remember for those of you listening to follow us on Untappd. I know I've been following Tim. I've been looking at all the beers Tim's been drinking, and I've been giving him a, what's it called, the toast on Untappd?
Toast, yeah.
You're keeping busy, Tim. You don't ever take a break from trying new stuff. I think that's awesome that you're able to always be trying new things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. ABT, always be trying. I did a little kind of mini brewery tour just of my neighborhood. Not my neighborhood, but really close to my area, because I go out to Torrance pretty regularly, or out to Long Beach or Orange County or Highland Park, which is pretty close too. But, you know, I just kind of thought, hey, maybe there's some places nearby that I haven't checked out that I'll like. So I heard, I'll like give a shout out to the Full Pint podcast, I think it was, and Franny Full Pint was on there, and she's talking at the LA Brewers Guild, and she said that they had over 50 breweries in the LA Brewers Guild. And I said, oh, you know, I'm going to look into it, and I'm going to check out see how many I've been to. So I pulled up the big list, and I saw that I had been to at the time 25 out of the 50, I think it's like 57 at this point. And so I was like, oh, okay, just under half, so that's good. And then I was like, well, I need to check out all these other breweries, so I need to try to go to all of them, right? So I looked for the ones that are kind of nearby, Glendale, Burbank area, and I went to three breweries yesterday. And so that's why you see that it looks like I've been going a little crazy, because I'm just taking, I took a little trip, did, you know, a tasting tour. There weren't full pours anywhere, just a lot of little tasters, but I tried a lot of different beers and really enjoyed it. So it was kind of, you know, it's nice to get your taste on, get out there and try different stuff. I recommend it for everybody.
Definitely. And keep up with all those tastings again by following us on Untappd. Tim is under Lucha Undead. Me, what am I under? I'm just under, I think it's just my name, isn't it? I don't know what my...
It is, you are under...
Della Boots.
Della Boots.
Della Boots.
Big Adrian Della Boots.
So yeah, if you use
you can search your name as well and you'll find you.
Yeah. So yeah, search for Lucha Undead and search for Della Boots and you'll find us. But anyway, so the first beer, Tim, this is the Lime Pilsner. It comes in at a 5.3 ABV. Let's go ahead and try it. Hmm. Oh, wow. You know what I'm taken aback by this, Tim. I really am. You know what I'm going to say right now? I'm going to say this is what like beers like Corona should taste like, basically. This is basically like a Corona. You know how people put the lime in a Corona?
Okay.
This is basically that, but good. You know what I mean? Like, this actually tastes ideally what you would expect from a beer with lime in it. It's got kind of a watery head. It's got sort of a hazy, light yellow color. Really nice. That lime flavor comes in strong in the nose, actually. And it's balanced well with the actual beer itself. So this is a beer that you could take to the beach. This is a beer you can take to like a barbecue, a cookout. Obviously, it's summertime. We're recording this the day before the 4th of July. But, you know, people are still going to be grilling out, you know, for the next couple of months. And if you don't want to be like a super beer snob, but you want to decide on something to take to a party, depending on the demographic, people who like light, citrusy, clean, sweet type of beers, I think this is the perfect beer for that, Tim. I like it. It's really good.
Mm. All right.
Take another sip while I say that. Yeah, the lime flavor is definitely there. It's a little sweet, but it's not too sweet, so I think you will enjoy it. But anyway, Tim, what is your first beer from Sierra Nevada?
Sierra Nevada. So my first beer from Sierra Nevada is going to be... Oh, I didn't realize I had to drink that. I thought I'd drink that one. Interesting. So I should have decided before we started. Let's start here with the Olivia White Ale. Belgian style Abbey Ale, as I talked about earlier, they kind of started their Trappist style Belgian style beer program.
Really quick though, you've mentioned Abbey earlier. I've heard of Trappist style like breweries, but is Abbey a thing of its own, or is it part of like that style?
The traps or whatever they call trapperies are also, I think, pretty regularly referred to as abbeys as well. It's where monks live.
Okay.
It's called an abbey. I don't know what religion exactly, because I don't care that much about it, but you're familiar with kind of that concept that in Belgium, a lot of those trap beers are brewed by monks.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I've heard that. Never really gotten, you know, to know too much about it, but I know what you're talking about.
I don't know as much about it as I'd like. I could definitely admit that. But yeah, it's definitely a style of beer that I like in general. So this is actually super hazy in this bottle, and you can see like yeast sediment at the bottom of the bottle. It's really kind of intense.
That's kind of the interesting thing, because Sierra Nevada, I mean, they're a pretty big company. I mean, would you say they're almost up there with like Stone or Ballast Point in terms of like how many barrels, you know, they put out? Probably not as big as Stone, but I mean, Sierra Nevada is one of the more common, like, I guess you could say, second tier, you know, breweries that you find in a lot of places. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's for sure. They're definitely one of the bigger ones. They're definitely pretty well known. I think that they're one that a lot of people probably assume are actually like a big company and not an independent brewery anymore. They've definitely been around for a long time, right? We're talking about that since the 70s, technically.
Yeah.
Right on 79, but still, it's still technically the 70s. So let's see. I mean, this is a wit beer, or a wheat beer, as it were. It says with coriander and orange peel, like most tend to say.
Mm-hmm.
Nice kind of label imprint. I think it's Ovila White Ale. Ovila, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Ovila, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It doesn't matter.
I do not speak. It's French, I think they speak in Belgium.
I thought it was Dutch. Don't they speak Dutch? I could be wrong.
It's the Netherlands, but I might speak both. So definitely get a lot of that kind of strong scent from the wheat that you get from wheat ales in general.
Yeah.
Kind of floral, fruity, but I guess banana-y almost, the coriander, orange peel. Let me give it a quick taste, huh?
What's it called again? Sierra Nevada, what was it?
Ovila Abbey White Ale. So I guess the Ovila Abbey is the imprint of Sierra Nevada. That's their Belgian style, and this is the white ale from that.
Oh, okay.
From that thing.
Are you drinking it out of a bottle?
I am drinking it out of a goblet.
Ooh, a goblet.
But I guess because it's a white ale, I should have done it out of my, what do they call it? The tall one that you drink wheat beers out of.
Oh, yeah, that big wheat beer glass.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
I think it's just called a, let's see, I'll look it up. Wheat beer.
Yeah, I think it's a Libby.
Libby.
I think it says here.
Not sure about that. You're probably right. What do I know?
So it says on the internet here.
There's a goblet glass.
So yeah, it's definitely pretty mellow. Herbaceous. No, not really. I mean, a little punchy on the back end. Sweet, flavorful.
A Weizenglass? I like it. Sorry.
What's a Weizenglass? I mean, that just means wheat glass.
Oh, well, there you go. I have a Pilsner glass, and I'm not drinking mine out of my Pilsner glass, but it's fine.
What's that?
I said mine's technically a Pilsner, and I'm drinking it out of a tulip, but that's okay. That's okay.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Yeah, I like this. Not a huge fan. A little murky, a little hazy. Not doesn't look like it's part of, like, haze crazy, but definitely not completely see-through.
Right.
Got to be able to read your watch through the beer. That's the new rule.
Hold on. Say that again. You got to be able to reach or watch?
Yes.
What does that mean? I like that.
Fight against the haze craze.
Oh, okay.
If you not want to be one of these murky beer drinkers. How do you feel about the whole haze craze? Are you into it? Do you like the hazy IPAs?
You know, it's difficult for me to say because when I drink an IPA, lately I've just been drinking straight out of the can. So I've had like 4 or 5 different IPAs in the last like couple months, and I don't even know what any of them really look like truly in a glass form because I just drink them straight out of the can.
Well, are they the New England style? Have you had a New England style? I had IPA?
The Goodnight Imperial Red IPA by Oscar Blues. That's an Imperial style, so I don't know if those are generally cloudy or not. What else have I had? I had the throwback IPA from Oscar Blues on this show, which also was straight out of the can. I had the regular IPA.
I don't think any of those are New England style.
Yeah.
So I guess you haven't had a New England style IPA. You should give it a shot.
I will definitely give it a shot. New England style IPA. I'll have to keep that in mind next time I'm at the old.
Yeah, take a look, see if you can find it. It's a big thing. It's kind of funny to me that you're able to sneak by with having not tried one.
I like to keep a safe distance from the trending stuff that's going on in the beer world, because for me it's one of those hobbies. It's like I'm not going to get so into it that I'm like reading blogs and following people and this and that. No, I'm just going to drink what I want, what sounds interesting to me, what looks interesting to me off the shelf, and if I like it, I'll keep drinking, and if I don't, I won't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
I rely on you for the latest and greatest in the beer world, like I'm learning tonight. See, this is a good learning experience. But where do you stand on the haziness? You're not too.
I like them.
You like them, okay?
Yeah, I'm a fan. All right, Adrian. So, do we want to take a break, or do we want to go to?
Oh, actually, we will go on a break. But first, and I forgot to mention, I gave my beer a 3.75 on Untappd. What did you give? What are you going to give yours, Tim?
3 even.
Ooh, 3. I see that. I'm going to toast it. There we go. Toasted. Toasted beer. This is cool because now I can like see in real time what you're drinking because I just update the app and there it is. So
I tried that lime pilsner from Uenta before. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit, actually.
It's good. It's a good summery beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not going to drink this in the middle of you know, November, you know what I mean? No, in November I'm drinking something much heavier than this. But now that it's summer, this is like seriously like the perfect barbecue / like going to the beach, going on a hike, beer. You know, and Uinta's all about that outdoor life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They seem to be that way.
Yeah, and I really like the art on their cans. It's like it's always like for example, for this beer, it's a guy on a stand-up paddleboard type thing, and he's like in a lake. He's surrounded by mountains, and there's like his dog is watching him off in the distance, and off in the great distance, instead of a setting sun, you know what you see? You know what you see, Tim?
What do you see?
A setting wedge of lime. The lime stands in for the sun. And they have and like all the Uinta cans, they have the compass printed on the upper lip of the can, which is really cool. That's how you know it's a Uinta beer. When you're picking it out of the fridge, you just look for that compass. I like this brewery. It's a really good brewery. It's too bad I didn't drink more of it when I was back in Utah. But that's okay.
You really should have. But they're not even in Utah anymore, are they?
No. They're still, like I said, they're still based out of Salt Lake, and they're still next door to my old job there. So.
I thought they moved.
I think you're thinking about a different brewery, which I think it was what was it called?
Epic.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Epic was based out of Utah, and then they got sick of Utah's weird alcohol law, so they just said F it, and they packed up and moved to Colorado.
That's a guess, yeah.
But, yeah. All right. Well, Tim, anything else you wanted to say about your beer?
No, not right now.
Well, I think that calls for our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our second beer. How does that sound, Timothy?
That sounds exciting.
All right. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to our segments, our second segment. I have Uinta Brewing Company. Tim has in his corner Sierra Nevada. I think so far, we're not doing too bad here. I know, Tim, you weren't too crazy about the beer you just had, but it was pretty good. Sounded like, right?
I liked it.
I like the one I had. I'm going from light to dark. I'm working my way up. So in my hands next, Tim, I have, this is, of course, from Uinta. This is their part of their Rotating Park series, release number 2. This is their Golden Ale, brewed by Uinta Brewing Company. Let's see, Yellowstone, 40 major... Oh, it's got little national parks facts on here. That's pretty cool. Yellowstone has 40 major waterfalls, Tim. Did you know that?
I did not have any idea.
How many waterfalls do you have in Los Angeles, Tim?
Probably one or two.
They're probably fake, though. They're probably man-made,
they're probably
right?
Bad. Yeah, you're right. They're probably terrible. But fake news waterfalls.
There's 300-plus active geysers. Now, geysers are something that are actually probably really common in Los Angeles. Especially in the San Fernando Valley, there's a lot of geysers there. So park number 1 established in 1872. Old Faithful erupts every 91 minutes, Tim.
Really?
And so yeah, if you're gassy, you probably erupt every 91 minutes too. I know I do. Every 90 minutes sounds about right for me. But what do I know? I'm just a doctor. Anyway, I'm gonna open this bad boy up. Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
All right. Let's see. That took a while. I like their art on this can too. It's like a, yeah, it's like a national park. Oh, you know what? Yeah, the national parks. That's right. I forgot they're doing a national parks series, where the art on their cans is different from what they normally have. This just showcases different national parks. Of course, in this case, it's Yellowstone. You see some buffalo. You see some trees. Anyway, let's go ahead and pour this bad boy.
I'm scared.
You're scared.
Yeah.
I'm pouring this into my. I'm pouring this out of a can into my can-shaped glass that I have. You know, I broke a glass the other day, man. It really sucks. I like that glass too, and I broke
Damn.
It. I took it out of the dishwasher and I hit it against the corner of the edge of the counter, and it freaking broke on me.
That's the worst. That's the worst.
It really is. This has a really white, sort of semi-watery head. Nice golden color. It's clear. I feel like the Pilsner I had earlier was hazier. It was more cloudy than this. This is a lot clearer. It has a very very malty smell coming through in the nose. So there's that. Let's see. What's the commercial? Did I read the commercial description for this? I don't think I did. Right?
You did actually.
I did.
No, wait.
No.
You didn't.
Let's see. I'm going to find it on That's what I like about the Untappd app. It's a really good app. 5% ABV. So it's maltier than it is hoppier, according to the little... They have the little diagram on their cans. I forgot about that. Body and color. You know, it's closer to the lighter side than it is to the fuller side. Uintas Golden Ale is a year-round refresher with medium body and a crisp, bready, malt-forward taste. Hop bitterness and aroma is low, allowing a hint of sweetness in the finish. Golden Ale will be released in a rotating lineup of packaging artwork celebrating the beauty and importance of the national parks in the United States. Its flavor profile is light, smooth, clean, malty, and sweet. So let's go ahead and give that a whirl, shall we?
Let's do it.
Oh.
Oh, that didn't sound good.
That's a lot maltier than I was expecting it to be. As a golden ale, I was kind of expecting it to be, a little bit more dank. You know what I mean?
I
guess it's just like, I'm so into IPAs that I just want everything to be dank, even if it's a pilsner or a lager or a golden ale. You know what I mean? But
right, you're looking for that stanky danker.
I really am. I don't know. I just can't get over that. You know what I mean? Like you have a tendency to get into different things. Like for a while, you were really into the farmhouse ales. Now you're more into what were you calling the Abbey Trappist type stuff, right?
I was into that more before, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't even know what like I would say is like what I'm into.
Yeah, but me, I've been pretty consistent. And like when I had that one lager that was like really hop forward, I was like, oh, this is so good. But this isn't. This is not that beer.
It's not that beer at all.
It's good though. It is good. It's definitely malty. It's definitely smooth. It's nice and smooth. It has kind of a dry. You know how some beers have a kind of a dry finish.
Yes.
This has that. How do you feel about that, by the way? Where do you stand on the dryness or wetness of a finish when you drink a beer?
Adrian, we talked about this before. The opposite of dry when you're talking about taste is sweet.
Okay, well, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Not really, because I don't think you know what you're saying.
But you know what I mean? Like when you finish that sip, it either leaves kind of a dryness behind or kind of a wetness behind. You're saying it's called sweet, though, not wet.
No, because it is sweet. And dry, think of dry as the opposite of sweet, not necessarily that dry feeling. I think the feeling you're talking about is more about the tannin and the crispness.
Right, but it still has a dry finish, though. I'm not wrong.
Right, but that's not dry. That's not what that... When people say dry, that's not what they're talking about.
What are they talking about?
A dry finish is, like I said, like the opposite of sweet. Like it has a, it's like a dry,
a savory finish.
No, it's like, I don't know how to explain it exactly.
Well, you can't give me crap for it if you can't explain it.
I kind of can.
Can you?
It's more, I don't know how, like the alcohol kind of comes through more as just alcohol.
Hmm.
Right.
Okay. But I'm talking about the actual physical feel of the liquid as it leaves your tongue and goes down your throat. You know, it's got that dryness, that dry feel to it. Does that make sense?
Okay, so dryness is the property of beverages that describes the lack of sweet taste.
Uh-huh.
The term dry may apply to these types. Beer, wine, distilled spirits, and other forms of alcoholic beverage.
Interesting. The
dry martini... Dry refers to the type of vermouth used, sweet or dry, the amount of vermouth used in the drink. Anyways, so dry doesn't mean that it makes your mouth feel dry. It means that it's not sweet, that it just, it lacks that kind of, because sweet stuff, you don't understand what sweet stuff tastes like, right?
Well, of course.
So when it's dry, it doesn't have any of that sweetness. A lot of times the effects of something that's very dry is that the alcohol comes through a lot more because the sweetness usually masks the alcohol flavor.
Interesting. Well, I didn't know that. You learned something.
So what you're talking about, when you're talking about like it leaves a dry feeling in your mouth, as I said, that's more of the tannin. Like a tannin causes like a puckering and a dry feeling that kind of, it's not sour, but it causes a feel in your mouth that gives you a puckering sensation without sourness. And then also like crispness can be that kind of bite that leaves, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but you know it when you feel it. It's like a really good lager will have like a crisp bite on the end that kind of gives you that feeling like, yeah, like there isn't alcohol left, or there isn't like drink left on your palate. Like it's gone very quickly.
Right.
So that it gives you that dry feeling that you're talking about.
Okay, okay. I get it.
What you're talking more about is like the crispness.
Well, then it's very crisp. I'll say that from here on out.
So I'm just letting you know so that people, I guess, can understand what you mean when you're.
No, it's good. I didn't know that. Honestly, I honestly thought when I heard the word dry, it literally means dry, not what you describe. But today I learned. Today I learned.
Well, good. So this has a crisp dryness to it.
Yes, and it's good. It's good. I mean, it's like I said, it's maltier than I hoped it would be, but it's a good beer. You know what I mean? It's a year-round beer, so you can enjoy this, you know, pretty much whenever. If I had to choose between this and like, you know, Coors or something, of course I would go with this. You know what I'm saying? So that's my second beer. What do you have next, Timothy?
My second beer is the River Ride Rye IPA from Sierra Nevada.
Uh-huh.
It is a rye IPA, obviously, from the name. If you didn't figure that out. Untappd does not have any kind of commercial details, but so I'm going to assume it's got a nice kind of rustic, like that ambery kind of malt profile coming through.
Yeah.
This is the 2017 vintage, so it has not been aged.
Since we're on the topic of what words mean, so what does it mean when it's called a rye, you know, beer, rye IPA, rye whatever? So what is rye? Because when I think of rye, I really think of just rye bread. You know what I mean? I think of a Reuben.
Right.
Something like that. Right. Is this along those same lines, or does it mean something else when it comes to rye?
Well, almost exactly those lines, because rye bread is made using rye grain. Rye is a grain, like wheat.
Uh-huh.
So, like, think of that. So, have you ever had, like, rye whiskey?
I don't think I have, actually.
So, they use rye grain instead of wheat or whatever other kind of malt or grain that they would use. So, that's what it would mean. So, this is an IPA where I think most IPAs, they use pretty commonly two-row malt, or I guess grain, whatever it is. That's a specific kind of grain that I think is a wheat derivative, but I don't know exactly because I'm not a brewer. Oh, it's a barley. So a lot of places commonly use barley for the brewing. In this one, not 100%, but some of the mix for the, I guess you put that in the, what they call the mash. And that's the first part of when you're making a beer, the part that actually goes into the kettle and gets boiled in the beginning part of brewing.
Uh-huh.
So rye means that they used rye when it's a rye IPA like this. So it doesn't necessarily denote the percentage, but just that they did use it. You would assume that if they're pushing it as a rye IPA, that the predominant malt or grain profile would be, or bill, as sometimes they call it, would be rye, but that's not necessarily 100% the case. It just means that it's in there. So that's kind of what that is. So rye, if you've had rye bread, obviously, you talked about it. Rye gives you a little bit more complex flavor. Like, if you compared wheat bread and rye bread, you definitely know that you get a lot more kind of, I guess, I don't know exactly.
I always imagine rye is darker.
Herbaceous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it can be, but it's not necessarily is, because there is like lighter rye breads. But if you're having like a pumpernickel rye, then it'll be darker. And so, again, as you've tasted rye, if you compared it to wheat or white bread, you would say it's more kind of herbal, I guess is how I would describe it. It has a lot more kind of flavors that I think you would expect to get from herbs and stuff like that. Kind of naturally occurring in the bread itself and in the grain itself. So it just kind of lends similar flavor profile to the beer.
Gotcha. Okay.
So this smells like an IPA, but because it is a rye IPA, the hops are not super forward in the nose. They're a little bit masked by the malt bill. I'll give it a quick taste and see what we're working with here. That's interesting.
Is it now?
Yeah, I'm getting a little toasty maltiness. I'm getting a little celery, which is kind of weird. Getting some hoppiness, but not a lot. Light tannin, getting that puckering, like we were talking about earlier. This is really interesting. It's honestly, I wouldn't even call this an IPA just because of the hops don't come through at all. I would call this probably more just like a rye pale ale or something.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that I dislike it. It's just very interesting. It's got kind of that classic malty richness that you get from a rye beer. I definitely am a fan of rye beers. I tend to enjoy them. This is pretty good. I'm going to give it a 3.5 on the old Untappd.
Ah, yes.
And
I should have done the same thing with my beer, and I haven't done it yet. How much are you giving? 3.5?
3.5.
I'm going to do mine 3.5 as well.
This is super light. Not really biting, like I said. Not really hoppy. Honestly, this is an IPA, this is a very...
How dank is it? What's the dankness on that bad boy?
Not dank at all, honestly. I mean, I'm not getting a lot of hops at all on this. I think this could easily be just a summertime beer.
Gotcha.
This is definitely... I mean, it's got some flavor, but it's not crazy. It's not over the top. It's not insane. This is pretty good stuff.
Awesome. All right, Tim. Well, with that said, I think we'll go on our third break, or no, our second break, actually, I should say. And when we come back, we'll have our third and final beer. What do you think?
I like it. I like the sound of that.
Alrighty then.
Place Simulations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
We're back. Tim, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling good.
Let's discuss your feelings. No, I'm really excited about this last beer, Tim. I saved the best for last. At least I hope I did. I went from light to dark, as I said. I don't know. Well, shit. No, I don't even remember what kind of beer I had last. The golden ale. Is a golden ale lighter than a pilsner, or vice versa?
It can depend, but they're usually pretty close to the same thing.
They're pretty close to the same thing. You're right. I have in front of me, Tim. This is also from Uintah's National Park Series. Great tasting and gluten reduced, apparently. Yeah, this features the features the West Coast. Well, actually, no. This isn't their National Park Series. I apologize. But this is Uintah's West Coast style IPA, Tim. Ooh. You're obviously, you know, all about the West Coast style because you are on the West Coast.
That's true.
6.3% alcohol by volume. This is the West Coast style IPA. Great tasting, gluten reduced. This beer was fermented from grains containing gluten and crafted to remove gluten. Okay. The gluten content of this product cannot be verified, and this product may contain gluten. Okay. This is made from gluten, but the gluten was reduced, but we can't verify it, so it may actually have gluten in it. Gotcha. I'm not shitting on it, by the way. I just think that's really funny, you know? It's a very hop-forward beer. It's more closer to a full body than a light body. Color is a lighter color than a darker color. Let's just go ahead and see what she looks like, shall we? Are you still there?
I've been here the whole time.
You got very quiet on me. I was just making sure. Make sure I don't lose my co-host again.
Yeah, right.
All right. That has a very hoppy scent. Like, the second I opened the can, I just got, like, a nice, like, burst of hoppiness in my nose. Nice white color head. It's kind of a medium to, you know, light cloudiness, you know what I mean? Not super cloudy, but not super light either. See-through either, you know? Let's see. That pours very nicely. It's got a nice... Uh-oh. Hold on. Oh. I thought I was going to overspill. It didn't. Thank God.
Did you?
It's got sort of a... It's got a nice floral hop smell. It's really good. Let's give it a taste, shall we? Oh, yeah. That's an IPA right there. That's what I'm talking about, man. You know what I'm saying, Tim?
I do know exactly what you're saying.
Good.
What does it taste like?
It tastes good. It's a little dank. You know, obviously it's an IPA. It's a little dank. It's you know, very hop forward. You know, whatever malts are in this are not present at the moment.
Really?
Yeah. Very floral hops. Not too sweet. West Coast. Jeez. There's so many West Coast style IPAs. And when I type in West Coast IPA into Untappd, like a billion results come up. West Coast.
Right.
Uinta. I can't believe I worked next to that brewery for so long and I never stepped foot in there. Like, it was literally like...
Wait, you never went?
No, that's what I was saying earlier. I never went in there. It was next to... I know.
I asked you if you went a bunch. I didn't hear you say you never went.
No. Yeah, no. I said that I could have gone a bunch of times, but I never did because I just never did. But it was literally next door to my work. Like, I could have walked over there.
Why? What is wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just didn't think about it at the time. You know, this beer is not coming up on Untappd. That's okay. I just didn't think about it at the time, you know? But,
That is depressing.
I regret it now. I regret it now. But,
I regret it for you.
But this is a good beer. This is, there it is. West Coast Style IPA. This has a pretty good score on Untappd. Wait, I said that before I even saw a score. I lied. 3.72 on Untappd. Out of 1,249 ratings. I'm going to give this... let me take another sip before I give it a rating, shall I?
Yeah, you got to really make sure that you're sure about it before you give it that rating.
It's piney. It's juicy. It's dank. There's a slight sort of a mango flavor in it. A bold and...
Stanky dank?
Stanky dank. A bold and citrusy India Pale Ale featuring... four different hops. The West Coast style IPA features aromas of pineapple, citrus, and pine. Yeah, this is good. This is definitely a good IPA. It's a little dank, but I mean, I've had danker beers than this. I mean, this is nothing compared to some of the stuff I've had, and I'm sure some of the stuff you've had, Tim.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder what's the dankest beer I've had.
I think for me, it's the Mercenary by Odell. That beer is super dank. Okay. Have you had... I probably have asked you this a million times already. Have you had the Mercenary?
Let me see. No, I have not.
But you've had double IPAs, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it's funny, because even with double IPAs, like, they're not all made the same. Some double IPAs will be much more dank than others. You know what I mean?
Some are citrusy.
Yeah.
Some are floral.
Yeah.
I think we had a triple IPA at El Segundo together.
We did, but I feel like when you get to the triple level of IPAs, I feel like at that point you're like, how much hoppier could it really be? Like, is it so hoppy that it tastes like you're drinking a pine tree, you know?
You would hope.
I gave this 4.0 stars out of 5 on Untappd. Again, follow us on Untappd, ladies and gentlemen. Check out what we're drinking. Check out what Tim is drinking. Tim's always drinking something interesting. I go on there and I'm like, oh, he had this, he had that. I mean, it's not like you just stick to one beer, Tim. You have a very you run the gamut a lot when it comes to the kind of beers that you drink, you know? Based on what I see on Untappd.
True, and I don't drink a lot of the same beers over and over again, honestly. Yeah. I very rarely drink the same beer.
That's not really twice. Yeah, that's not your thing. I have a habit of doing that, you know?
I mean, if I really like something, I might like get it again, but I'm just trying to try it all. There's so much beer out there.
There's so much beer. You'll never be able to drink every
Speaking
single
of
beer in the world.
So much.
Okay. No, that was it. Go ahead. What's up?
Okay. Well, you're breaking up a lot. So let me.
Oh, am I really?
See. Anyways, Yeah, but speaking of so many beers out there, there's so much beer in here for me to drink.
Yes, what's your next beer, Tim?
My next beer is 2017 edition of, we're speaking just about it, Triple IPA. It's the Hoptimum from Sierra Nevada, obviously, because we're doing the same brewery.
Hoptimum.
A group of Hopheads and Publicants? Publicants. I think it's supposed to be like people who hang out in pubs.
Yes.
Challenged our beer camp brewers to push the extremes of whole cone hop brewing. The result is this 100 IBUs, whole cone hurricane of flavors. Simply put, Hoptimum is the biggest whole cone IPA we have ever done. Aggressively dry hopped, dry hopped, and torpedoed, which is their exclusive hop hopping variety. Or I guess they use their exclusive hop varieties, ultra intense flavors and aromas. So torpedo, have you ever had their torpedo IPA?
You know, I see that all the time in the grocery store, but I've never tried it. I've never had it.
So they I forget what it is, but they explain it, I think, on the bottle or somewhere. But they have like a special process that they use that they call torpedoing the hops. I forget what they do, but so to get more hop flavor in there. So they do that with this, with special hops that only they have because they're such a big brewery that they're able to have, you know, contracts that are just like 100% exclusive for them. And so because this is my big triple IPA bad boy for the end of the night, I'm going to just pour the whole thing. Look at that majestic hop devil, if you will. It's ambery colored, which is really interesting for such a hop forwarded beer. It's got like a brownish tinge to the head is very small, tight, bubbling, not super effervescent. Definitely looks like it's very like light, probably doesn't have a huge like malt profile, but it is odd that it's like so ambery. I wouldn't have expected that. Let me give her a quick smell. See what we're messing with. So yeah, it smells like hops. It smells like a lot of hops. Like just putting a whole pine tree right into your right up your nose. Oh Jesus.
Initial it's thoughts?
Very bitter.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of nice and well balanced. It's some tannin, but not a lot. It doesn't really blow out your taste buds completely. Yeah, it's interesting. It's actually kind of more layered than I would have expected. The flavors kind of balance out nicely. Very bitter, but also kind of fruity. Get some like grapefruit. Also like cedar. There's some tropical flavors, but not a lot. Yeah, it's actually very dry, very kind of boozy, but not insane. I don't even know what the alcohol content is.
9.6. I looked it up on
9.6
on the interwebs.
So yeah. Yeah, tropical, little floral, not insane though. This is a really well balanced, nice triple IPA. I mean, God, I would love. I want to drink a couple more of these, honestly. I'm kind of bummed I only have one bottle right now.
It's pretty sessionable, would you say?
Definitely not. I would not recommend trying to session this bad boy.
I mean, you could try.
You could try. You could probably get yourself fucked up, that's for sure. I like it. I like it quite a bit, honestly.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a good beer, Tim. That sounds...
I wonder what kind of rating I would give it. If I was going to give this a rating... Probably 4.25. No, you know what? 4.5. They did the deal.
Nice.
I wouldn't say it's like one of the best beers that I've ever had.
Uh-huh.
But it's pretty damn good.
Okay.
I'm going to check. What are you up to, Adrian?
I'm actually looking up some beer news that I was going to quickly go over in the next segment. But if you're ready to go to break and we come back, we'll do that, unless there was something more you wanted to add. Or...
No, let's do that.
All right. Well, Tim.
Yes, sir.
As we do every other week. When we come back, we're going to announce our
top beer.
We'll be right back.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes, and while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceMination.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceMination.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceMination.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Tim, we're back.
We are back.
I just took another sip of my...
took a sip of what?
Of the West Coast style IPA I'm having. So, Tim, before we announce our top beer, really quick, this is from thecoloradoan.com. Odell and New Belgium make best beers list, Tim. A trio of Fort Collins beers were recently rated among the country's best. The American...
Whoa.
Yes.
Is this news story all Colorado-centric?
I mean, it's coming from the Coloradoan.
Yeah, okay.
Bear with me. The American Homebrewers Association released its 15th annual ranking of America's top 50 commercial brews, as voted on by Zymurgy magazine readers. Odell's IPA and 90 Shilling Scottish Ale made the list. So did New Belgium's sour brown ale, La Folie? I can't say that. Two-hearted ale from Michigan's Bell's Brewery was named the country's top beer. Ah, that's their top beer. Supplanting Pliny, the elder from California's Russian River Brewing that had claimed the top spot for the previous 8 years. What was that?
It's pronounced Pliny. Pliny the Elder.
Pliny the Elder, okay. Odell tied for 22nd. The beer first released a decade ago helped reinvent the brewery that's now well-regarded for its hoppy brews. The beer was one of the first IPAs to accentuate hop flavor and aroma over bitterness. Still the only American-style IPA to win gold medals at both the Great American Beer Festival and the World Beer Cup. Odell IPA now goes to Great American Beer Festival every year as a measuring stick. Judges use it to compare the American-style IPA entries, the most entered category annually since 2002. Shocking. 90 Shilling, which tied for the 27th on the best beer list, has been Odell's flagship beer since it launched in 1989. It remains the brewery's best-selling beer annually, and the ale won a gold medal at the 2016 World Beer Cup. Odell added a distribution to Montana earlier this month and is now available in 15 states. New Belgium's La Folie finished tied For 27th, the beer is considered the country's first commercial sour beer. Huh?
You said 420.
I said 420?
Yeah, because you said it was tied for 27th.
Oh. La Folie won a bronze medal in its debut at the 2000 Great American Beer Festival for Belgian and French-style ales back when there was no sour category. The beer also claimed gold at the 2001 and 2002 Great American Beer Fest. The 2017 version of La Folie hit the market in February. New Belgium reached 50-state distribution earlier this spring. The employee-owned brewery also released the 2017 version of its popular sour Transatlantique Creek and a special Voodoo Ranger Passion Fruit IPA into the market earlier this month. Nearby Longmont also produced four beers on the top 50 list. Left Hand Brewing's Milk Stout Nitro ranked 18th, the highest of any Colorado beer. Oscar Blues had 1050, tied for 27th. Dale's Pale Ale tied for 43rd. And Old Chub, one of your favorites, Tim, tied for 47th. Make the list. So there you go. We out here. Colorado breweries, we out here, fam. We out here. I didn't know that. I'm kind of surprised that. I'm shocked that New Belgium is in 50 states and Odell is only in 15. That's kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah, right.
That's not even a quarter of the states in the country. And New Belgium is in all 50. That's pretty cool. Huh?
Yeah, I like New Belgium. You know what? I like them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they're a co-op, too.
Nah, that's pretty cool. So there you go, Tim. There you go. I know, yes, it's a very Colorado-centric article, so it's probably very biased in some ways.
I was just messing with you. Because, I mean, if we peel back the curtain, you gave me two options, and I picked this article. So
that's true.
I was just joshing you.
Yeah, this article trumped the other one.
It sure did.
Tim, enough of that. Let's, I think it's time, Tim. I think it's time to announce our top beer.
Beer time. Here's the problem.
What's that?
And I realized it as we're doing this. We can't tell people what we're giving the beers on Untappd as we drink.
What do you mean?
Because if we give them our ratings, if they pay attention, then they'll know what our top beer is going to be. Because we already told them what the rating is.
That's true. So we probably shouldn't say what we're going
to
rate.
We're going to have to never do that again. We fucked up.
That's okay. I think they'll forgive us. But anyway, Tim, what is your top beer for tonight?
My top beer for this evening is the Hoptimum Triple IPA. I love this beer. It's very good.
Sounds good.
It's the best. It's the best beer that I had tonight from Sierra Nevada. Sierra Nevada, a brewery that I don't drink a lot of their beers, honestly.
Yeah.
I like the Otra Vez. I like the Torpedo from time to time, but I never drink it. I never drink the Pale Ale that they have, the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And I don't drink many of their beers regularly, and maybe I'm wrong, because they do the beer camp, which is a really cool thing. They get together a lot of brewers all together, and they have this big events, and they go all over the place doing all these big events, and they foster community in the beer scene. And you know what? Like, maybe I should support them, because in some ways I get turned off by big breweries because I think of them as, like, the big guys. But realistically, Sierra Nevada is just as small. I mean, they're bigger than, say, Highland Park or wherever that I go that's really local. But there's still nothing compared to AB InBev. So it's like, realistically, they're still indie brew. I should still support them as much as I can. And I think I will. I think I'm going to start enjoying Sierra Nevada more.
Awesome. Well, you know what? You should do that, Tim. I should, too, because it sounds like you've had some pretty interesting stuff for them tonight. And they're never really on my radar. Like I said, I always see Torpedo in the store, but I never think to get it. So I think now I'll have to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going to have to start doing it.
Definitely. Well, Tim, it's my turn. I'm gonna break character for a second here, Tim. And I'm gonna throw you for a loop, and I'm gonna tell you that, you know, my top beer for tonight is from Uinta Brewing Company is their Lime Pilsner. Oh, I said it. I did it, Tim.
I'm proud of you.
Now here's why.
You're not a coward.
I'll tell you why, because the second that I drank it, the second that I smelled it, Tim, I was like, this is definitely the beer that I can see myself drinking all throughout the summer. As much as I like IPAs, I know I like IPAs too much. I have to go with this. It's a good beer. It's a beer that, like I said, you can relate to, because anybody will enjoy it. Anybody who likes, if you like the Corona with the lime, or if you like the Bud Light with the lime or whatever, you're going to enjoy this beer 10 times more than that, because it tastes 10 times better than those beers. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm going to go with the Lime Pilsner from Uinta Brewing Company. And by the way, Uinta in general, I mean, they make really good beers. The second runner-up would have been, or the first runner-up, I should say, would have been the West Coast Style IPA, and then followed by the other one. But I'm going with the Lime Pilsner as my top beer, Tim. What do you think?
I like it, and I like it a lot, because I like that beer when I had it. I think it's a definite good day drinker, everyday drinker. Summer beer for sure. It is warming up here in California, so it's a good time for beers like that.
Definitely, definitely. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. There's our top beers for tonight from our top breweries. Tim, before we go, anything you want to plug really quick?
No, I mean, I guess just the Twitter, Lucha Undead. That's a good place to find out all the other stuff I'm working on. This Week in Wrestling, good podcast that I do. I'm going to be on an episode of Military Industrial Suplex with Tom Batista, former guest of the show and former co-host of the show. So he's done it all when it comes to this show. A lot of fun talking with him. A lot of interesting stuff came up in that conversation. Probably also plug Facelock Feministas, great podcast. They just recently interviewed Clint Margera, so I enjoyed that. And Sports Entertainment Shrinks with Dan Scotty. Definitely going to get Dan over here, I think, very shortly. And Brock, who we just recently had as a guest on here. I don't know if you weren't the co-host on that episode, actually, now that I think of it.
With Brock? I don't remember, actually.
Yeah, Brock Yonke. It's because you don't listen to episodes you're not on, so unfortunately.
I edit them. Of course I do.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. It's anyways, both wow. of them, but Dan, I think
throwing
Dan
shade might, my way tonight, are we?
Dan might actually end up being our first time guest on Top Beer.
Oh, really?
Because he's a big time beer head. So yeah, go check those people out. Get into what they're doing, and just follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead.
I'm excited that we're gonna at the possibility of having a guest on this show. So I'm looking forward to that, to make it happen.
Right.
Whatever you got to do to facilitate that. And it's easy this time because we're doing Top Brewery now for a while. So all he has to do is go to his local bottle shop or whatever and say, look for a brewery and get three beers from them. Easy, exactly. Easy peasy, easy peasy, Tim. You know what I mean?
Easy
peasy, breezy, beautiful cover girl. Anyways, Tim, yes. Was that it, by the way? Sorry, was that it?
That was it.
Follow me at Della Boots on Twitter. Follow me at Della Boots on Untappd. Follow us at Lucha Undead, also on Untappd. And now on Discord, we want to get some people on here. We want to be able to interact with people and stuff, and people have asked questions in real time. We're Lucha Undead on Discord, if you have it. So there you go, Tim.
There we go.
Before we go, Tim, I think there's a certain phrase that you'd like to take us out on.
It's the phrase that pays. And it is... life is all about those three B's: good beers, good buds, and good banter. Good night, everyone.